Hello, Kupo. You're listening to another episode of Kupo Talks. I'm your host, Mog Knight, also known as Ray. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good time. Happy 2024. And I am here joined by my lovely friend and co-host and forever in the rotating chair.
Hey, it's me again.
It is him again. If you can find him on Twitter, at Summer Kurtz.
Yeah.
His name is also Andrew. Andrew.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Use my real name. Okay.
New Year's resolution.
Yes. Happy to be here again. It's been a long 2 weeks. I think this is the fastest turnaround time we've had, I think, between episodes.
I think so. Because as you could see with the title of this episode, we are talking about a game that we have recently played.
Yeah, I think I talked about it during our end of the year preview, that this was like the number one thing I was looking forward to. And what do you know, I played it right after we talked about it. And I think you did too.
Yeah, I heard he was playing it. I'm like, you know, I've been meaning to check this out.
Yeah.
I have some extra time before I have to move on to other responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I also have a Steam Deck, so.
Yeah, so we both played it. And I think we both have enough thoughts that we both committed to an emergency recording session so we could both talk about this. Because I think we only talked about the intro, maybe like the first, like, what, half hour or something?
Yeah. I played it on stream, like, after I beat a certain game.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this hook to it that got me really interested in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, even though I don't like horror stuff or, like, paranormal occult stuff, I'll see it through.
Yeah. But before that, we should get into the other stuff, right? Before we get into
the other stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad you could join us.
Yeah.
But again, happy New Year's for all the Kupo brand folks here in this office.
I'm in my office.
You're officially part of the rotating chair crew that is the Kupo brand,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
Forever guest. But happy New Year's. Hope all your New Year's resolutions come through. I wrote in my agenda, whatever that might mean to you. And also, if you don't know, new to the show or whatever, we do written content here. And every year, this is the fourth annual Kupo Writes Game Awards. You can check it out at kupo.cafe/the game. Sorry, game-awards-2020. You know what? You could also, it'll make your life easier. Just go to kupo.cafe and then you can find.
Just click the link.
Right, hopefully, you know how to navigate a website.
Yeah.
Just get to find out everything. But 4 days of writing, a day of awards and game awards. I spent a lot of time on it. My friend here spent a lot of good time on it. So
yeah, I was on vacation working on this.
Yeah, dude. This happens every year where we kind of write the week off.
Okay, we talk about it.
Yes.
And I think you and I made an agreement around what Thanksgiving of like what we wanted to look like.
Yeah.
How many awards we were gonna give out.
Yeah, it's like
the
it's all like planned in a Google document
The skeleton, the skeleton was there. We knew what it was gonna look like. And then I remember I started like that week. And then like you just kept putting it off. And I think it was like maybe the week before Christmas was when like I really started to like dang it.
Yeah, just really started like assorting stuff and like
taking screenshots, collecting info. Because at least my goal was to finish before I had to go to the airport.
Cool.
A bulk of my writing was done at the airport, sitting at a terminal or on the plane. And then at my in-laws house, I did quite a bit of writing as well.
Every
year. Last year, the same thing. I wrote most of it at the airport. And at my in-laws' house, I had to borrow a computer. I think actually every year I've had a write at my in-laws' place. But anyway, that that was my writing process. Yeah, we think you'd get better at this by now.
But now the reader, the listeners can understand that this is the raw you, you know?
Yeah.
The raw, unfiltered.
Yeah.
One take.
Yeah.
One take.
No, I edited it. I feel like my first couple ones were pretty good. I'm really proud of the Last Train Home one, I think, specifically. I'm happy with that one.
Yeah, I liked reading yours, Last Train, and I liked reading your what you had to say for Yakuza.
Oh, yeah, that also was I was very happy with. But yeah, how was your writing process?
Same thing every year.
Yeah.
Of me trying to balance how to use this gosh darn website and coding or whatever, and like getting all the art assets ready.
Yeah.
If there's anything, I did like what I did for the art certificates. Because if you notice, like every day there's a little different, like quote unquote ad blurb.
Yeah.
I just try to do something different. Mm-hmm. Also, fun fact, if you go to the Game Awards page, there's a GIF of rotating food.
I see it. I'm looking at it right now.
If you keep on refreshing, you get a different plate of food.
Oh, very nice.
Fancy. Mm-hmm. You know, the math that they teach you, mm-hmm. you can put it on into HTML and bam. Mm-hmm. But anyways, same thing. You know, I kind of write last minute and I edit last minute. Trying to put everything together. But for me, it's always fun. And I hope you guys have the chance to read into some deep thoughts and games writing and everything.
Mm.
And it was a lot of fun for us. And I'm pretty sure, I guarantee, or your money back, that you will have fun reading it.
Yeah.
If you need to send your money back, you get invoice at invoice@kubo.cafe.
Yeah.
And then we'll get it back to you in 10 business days.
Yeah. Sounds good. Anyway, given that this is a really quick turnaround time since the last time we spoke, what have you been up to in the last 2 weeks?
I have been playing the hit game Paranorma Sight, but I also was streaming a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did beat Alan Wake 1.
Ooh, what are your thoughts? Oh, damn.
I think for a game of its time, 2010,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think at the end, I was kind of like burnt out on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I beat it on stream.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time overall. I might check out Alan Wake over the summer, or maybe one of my breaks. Alan Wake 2.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole reason why I played it, Alan Wake, because I know you wrote about Alan Wake 2, and I'm like, a lot of people wrote about it, and I was like, huh, maybe it's interesting. But overall, Alan Wake, not husband of the year.
Nope.
But Barry. Barry, the best friend
is
of
so
the year.
Good. Like you would think he kind of comes off as like, oh, I know this character, right?
Like a Hollywood executive, or I need this from you, Alan.
Yeah,
that's whatever. But you know, there are times where he's like really humble, and there are times where he's like,
he's there for Alan.
Yeah, like, he's there for Alan.
Yeah, like legitimately. Right?
It's like when that one scene where the waitress like gets possessed.
Yeah.
And then like the next time you come back to him, it's like he's hiding behind your cardboard cutout, Alan Wake cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
It's like, I took this from the cafe to screw over that lady. And I was like, okay, you don't need to do that.
Fuck yeah, Barry. I'm sort of not trying to spoil it for you, but there is very little Barry and Alan Wake too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I heard, and it's very sad.
Yeah,
but Barry will be the number one in my heart for Alan Wake.
There. I think if I remember correctly, I haven't played Final Draft, so I don't know if there's any big Barry changes in Final Draft. Who knows? But I think there's just an email, which I think I would actually just kind of implore you to read at some point. Just read the email that Barry sends.
All right, I'll write it down.
Yeah, but Alan Wake's a good game. That's a very, Xbox 2008, 2010?
Yeah, you warned me. Yeah, you warned me about like the game design stuff.
That's, and I was talking that's an Xbox 360 ass game.
Or it's like the camera for a third person game. It's like, you know, it's kind of like over the shoulder, but for some reason, Alan is like so far to the right or so far to the left, where it kind of feels like when you're walking forward, you're kind of like drifting towards the center.
Sure, sure, sure.
I was like, man, it's so weird. And I powered through it. I hate the birds.
Those birds suck. Yeah, no, you're right. Those birds are crap. I hated those birds too.
They're very unfair.
Yeah.
But that's Alan Wake. It's a good, solid game for 2010.
Yeah.
How about you, kid? What have you been up to?
The only other game that I played that maybe I'll talk about at some point, just because I got in on a adventure game kick, was I am re-picking up The Great Ace Attorney Resolve, so Great Ace Attorney 2.
Ooh.
And I'm basically picking up where I left off.
How about you finished it?
I beat the first game. The second game. I got halfway through the second game, which I am now playing. So the third case, essentially.
Nice. Enjoying your time? Is that racist? Attorney's still racist?
Yeah, boy, is he.
You'll find out our thoughts on the previous, on one of our previous episodes of The Great Racist Attorney.
Yeah.
Whatever I titled it.
So that's it. And then I watched, not very related to this podcast, but I watched Tom Hanks's Greyhound, because I have picked up a temporary Apple TV subscription. And I'm also watching Ted Lasso. But more on that later. But yeah, anyway, let's get into the meat of this. That's basically all I've done.
It's the time, the great meat of it.
Yeah.
We are going into a game released in 2023. I think March 2023 of last year. The game fully titled Paranormasite, The Seven Mysteries of Hanjo. Developed by Zine and published by Square Enix.
Hell of a
title. You can get it now.
Yeah.
On what is it? Windows, Steam, Switch. Oh, it's on Android and iOS. Crazy. For the low price of $20. It's not a lot.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I got it on sale for like 13, I think.
Yeah, for cheaper. For me, it ran about about 9 hours. It's more like an 8-hour game for me. How long did it take you to beat it?
My counter on Steam is off by a bit, because I remember there was at least two different sessions where I left it on for some reason. I went to go do a bunch of other stuff, I think maybe it took me, I want to say maybe 11 hours, so not that long, not that far off. Again, this is me being kind of off, just because I did kind of mess around.
Yeah, so it's around like a 8-hour to like 12-hour experience. But yeah, Paranormasite. Just as a warning, this is a spoiler cast because we have both played it and completed it. And we are rife for discussion about many things on it. What's good, what's bad, our favorite characters, and just some scenes that really impacted us. If you're into spoilers, listen ahead. If you're not into spoilers, you want to try this for yourself. Even for the spoiler part, Andrew, do you recommend this to people?
Yes, because I want more games like it to come out.
Awesome. I do recommend it as well. It has unique gags in it.
Yes.
If you don't know, this is kind of like a adventure, Japanese adventure game / visual novel. But it's more of the adventure stuff where there's like narrative story beats and you keep on clicking. Then you have to like be a detective and find clues or whatever, do like interactable stuff.
Yes, this is not a visual novel. Anyone who says it was wrong, this is a classic adventure game. If you don't know the difference, Please educate yourself.
Get out of here. We don't. Yeah. I was just kidding.
But there's a distinct difference.
Yes. If you say some of these words on the internet, someone will flame you. I guarantee yes. it.
Like I am but right now.
Yes. We have your IP address, and we're going to track you and make sure you learn. You're going to learn tonight.
Yeah.
But anyways, I do recommend it as well. For, you know, $20, it has a really good Git experience, especially if you're into... So I'm not into horror stuff, and this... I don't believe Paranormal Site would be considered horror in a way. It's more like occult paranormal with like, is there gore? There is kind of gore in it, I guess.
Yeah, it's like soft gore. Is that a thing? Is soft gore a thing? But it's not like excessive, I guess. Yeah, I would say
it's not like scary.
Yeah.
I'm a huge non-scary person, and I was able to play through it with interest. So take that as you will. But anyways. From this point on, it is now spoiler territory, so you now have been warned.
Ooh. I guess why, right? Like, yeah. Why play this game? I remember, was it Colin Space Twinks, I think, on Twitter? I think where I first heard of it, and he, Colin does a big... like recommendation thread, yeah, a couple times a year.
Stuff.
Yeah. I remember first seeing it there, and I was like, "Oh, that looks neat." And then a mutual friend of ours, friend of the show, I think was very specific of like, "Hey, you guys should play this game. I heard it was really good, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when I at least picked it up on sale, and I think you probably picked it up at the same time.
Yeah, I think so.
And I remember reading, I don't remember the specifics of the tweet, but I was like, oh, yeah. And it was one of those things, at least for me, even, it's kind of a, not a sell, but, you know, it could always kind of reflect poorly of, like, the less you know, the better, right? That's what I was told. Like, don't read about this game. Just play it. Just
go in and
You know, that could go bad, right? Like, oh man, this game sucks or something. Yeah. But
yeah, it depends on like who recommends it, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like a group thing too. Of like, I go on the Steam page and it says overwhelmingly positive. It's like,
how right. there's something. Yeah, exactly. That's why I played it, and I was like, and it was a thing of like, it was like literally the first thing on my list of things to do, after we had completed our end of the year stuff.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm still a fan of Giant Bomb, even though I don't consume their content post The Reckoning. No, I'm just kidding. Was when, you know, they didn't have the office anymore. But it was on a lot of people's either like game of the year list or things that I wish I had more time to play year of the year. And it's kind of similar with me because, like, you know, I heard good things about this. I've always seen it from time to time. But then the kind of like logo thing art has like the lady with like the no eyes, but it's like a dark void. I was like, that's kind of spooky. So I kind of been avoiding it.
Yeah.
I know. But I heard you've been playing it, and I'm like, maybe it is my time as well. So I picked it up. I also tried it a little bit on Steam. And then the gag that got me was...
Yes, the opening gag.
Yeah, the opening gag and where you launch it up. And then there's a storyteller guy next to a TV, and he's like, what is your name? And it's like... I'm going to put this fake funny name because I've been doing that lately.
For me, I put the name I use whenever I play a name or whatever. And it's then it just comes back with like your, I'm assuming it's reading your Steam tag.
Yeah, it's reading your Steam username.
Steam ID. Yeah.
Yeah. So mine is like Mognite. And it's like, whoa, I put down like hamburger. And it's like, no, that is not me. But it is me. But, you know, that kind of hook, even if you get it or not, it's like, kind of like shows you that this game is will get meta on you, kind of.
Yes.
I don't feel like it's full meta, but it uses stuff outside of what we consider like the traditional game zone. Because we're talking about spoilers already anyways, or this is spoiler territory. The other bit where it does it again is so in this game, there's a bunch of curses, basically powers that people have that under certain conditions could kill people.
Right.
One of them is this kind of like chant thing where like if your character hears like a certain chant over a period of time, they like die.
Yeah.
Right? Basically. Yeah. So the puzzle in the game is that you have to go to the settings and then you have to turn off like sound or turn off voice specifically.
Yeah.
You can turn off everything, but you can turn off voice and then you can progress in the game that way.
Yeah.
So it's using like UI and it's like even like the, cause it took me a while to figure it out. The storyteller or like the main, not main character, but like the guiding dude. That's like, I already showed you how to do this. And it is true. They showed us how to like access the settings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, cool, epic. And I think that happens like 3 times throughout the game.
Okay. Here, do you want to just start getting into like critique of it, I guess?
Yeah, sure, why not?
We're
already here.
I feel like the game's so front-loaded. I thought the best part of that game is like the prologue. Like the first like 2.5-ish hours of that. Oh, I mean the game is relatively short. I want to say like 2 hours of that game. First 2 hours of the game is probably the best part of that game. Okay, it has the most gimmicks. It's the most interesting, especially with the when you see like the curse button, right? It's like you should hit the curse button because that's how you kill someone. Yeah. And it started to click with me like, what if I just don't press it? Like, what would happen? And it's like, oh. The curse happens anyway. It's like, okay, something's up. Like, something's not right. And there's this sense of, like, suspicion. And it kind of takes it away a little bit from me of, like, oh, this is kind of railroaded. Like, it's not as open as I thought it would be. But, like, that prologue is really cool, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The prologue is the strongest point of the game. Cause
especially the first death, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the big draws for me in this game was like, oh, it's not only an investigative game, but you can turn 360. You can look at everything, which opens up to like I think maybe only a handful of usages, like gags that it does with it.
Yeah.
And like the first time it's like, oh, a character tells you, hey, you should turn around. Your friend's like not looking good. And you turn on, the person kills you. It's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't turn around in like front of someone you don't trust.
Yeah, teaching you like a little tricks.
And that's that cool. Might occur. And then that never happens ever again.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Like sure, maybe you shouldn't overuse a gag, but to use it once in the prologue and for it not to ever occur again.
Yeah, I think the only time
kind of a waste of a cool mechanic. I think
I feel like the only times that it happened was the like non-threatening conditions.
Yeah.
So remember, it's like you open up a chapter, it's kind of like a cold open, and then she gets talking to one of the characters, and it's like I was like maybe you should figure out more about the lady to your right, and it's like what, and then it's like you have free rein at the camera again, and then look to your right, and it's like oh there she is. But it's like, I think, it's just used in non-threatening ways where it's like, it's safe, you're safe to look around and such.
Yeah.
If anything, the gag only comes back when you try to get the true ending.
The true ending. Which one? Right? Am I forgetting? Am I forgetting something?
Well, it's like the real ending, because you have to talk to that guy, the soap guy.
Yeah.
And then to your right is like the will of the wisp or like the lantern thing. Mm. But if you look away from him, he will kill you.
Oh, I never got that to occur. But okay, but sure. Yes, I would imagine it would happen again. Same yes. Thing. Yes. Yeah. Or there's the similar thing of like when Yoko passes out, don't turn away. Just keep talking to her, right?
Yeah.
I mean like Man, the game's so front-loaded. Like, it's so cool in the beginning. And yeah, then, like, nothing happens in the middle. There's no, like, real distinct gags I can think about in my head. And then towards the end, you get, like, a couple, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's, because, sometimes I feel like multi-story split adventure games slash visual novels, like, have that same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Of us, like, it's not, like, evenly full of impactful content all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens after the prologue is that, like, you basically go back in time and then join up with these three different routes and then these three different characters. And, like, it's all about now, like, their side stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they start, like, intersecting and intertwining. And it's, like, that kind of trope of, you know, everything goes back together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you get to the very end, where does it end up to you? Back to the prologue, baby.
Yeah. That's neat. Like, sure. Like, I get it. I mean, again, like, one of the things that caught me was someone mentioned, like, oh, this is similar to 13 Sentinels.
Yes.
Which is a amazing game. I don't know why I didn't write about the game long ago when I played it. But, like, 13 Sentinels is a game where I look back on it, it's like, wow, that was one of the, probably one of the best games I have played in a while. Like, yeah. I'm very fond of how it tells a story. Because that story is, it starts out pretty straightforward, and then it just, like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's like, I still need to play 13 Sentinels. I tried, like, the first few hours of it. Maybe over the summer.
What I always hear
is that, like,
the game opens up like a lot.
It opens up a whole lot. It does do like the time travel-y like thing too of like
you know about that.
Different, it's like different time perspectives and everything. Basically, it just becomes non-linear in a way, right?
Yeah.
But with Paranorma Site, it's just pretty linear.
It's pretty like. Like, I can think of, like, one or two things that was like, oh, that's pretty neat. There's one puzzle specifically, I think, that I was stuck on. Were you stuck at a specific point, too? Where, the two, why am I forgetting the names? It's Yako and it's Mio, right?
Yeah, Mio.
They're also my favorite pair. They're really fun.
Yeah, dude.
Yako is
awesome.
Do you know the part where I'm talking about? It's like, oh, and they kept searching for it. And they kept looking.
It's like at the very end, you get to choose where they will be.
Yes.
And out of five choices.
Mm-hmm.
But is it apparently clear why you have that, especially when you do that route first?
Yeah.
Then you go to the route above it, which is the cop detective.
Mm-hmm.
Just the cops.
Which are also kind of looking for something, right?
Yeah.
And then basically the puzzle is like they need to talk to Yako and Mio. So you need to think about this in a meta storytelling sense is that you need to place them
in the right place.
In a time and place where they would intersect. And that puzzle was not clear to me. I actually had to look it up. Like, why am I stuck in this loop?
Do you think you would get it eventually?
Yes. The thing that stuck with me, because I did put them at the school, it's that you have to, the first place that the detectives have to search is the school.
Yes.
So the thing is, I would place them at the school, and then I'd be like, well, I don't know, maybe like they end up at the alleyway or something. So I would put the detectives, search the alley first, and then to the school, and they would be gone. You need to go to the school first, which I think is a little... I mean, time doesn't pass in that way. Yeah. So that kind of irritated me, but, like, I get it, I guess, quote-unquote. Like, some of those puzzles weren't,
like,
I think, as straightforward as... Like, on paper, yeah, I guess that makes sense, but, like, in practice, it's a little more obtuse, or it's a little too specific, I guess.
Yeah,
I think it makes sense to me.
I don't know, some people and some gamers might, like, feel it in a different way. But that's always the thing with, like, these adventure games, especially puzzles like these, where there are some, even for me, where it's like, I think I can figure it out if I had infinite time.
Right.
But I will look up a guide.
It's like, do I want to spend 20 minutes figuring this out? or after 10 minutes doing what I think was the most logical way to solve this, just look it up at some point. Yeah, and like, it's a single player game. Who cares? It's fine.
Who cares?
Like, it's the same experience.
That's like one of the ones for me was, I forgot where this was specifically. But there's this character, Michio Shirashi. One of the questions the storyteller asks you is like, where was Michio 8 o'clock this morning?
Yeah.
And then I haven't pieced together that. Well, I kind of knew it, but it's like, I haven't pieced together until I saw the solution to that puzzle that Yako is possessed by Michio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cool beans.
I knew that and I got it wrong still. Like, I understood that, oh, they're the same person. And why did I get it wrong? I'm trying to remember why. But I think in my head it's like, oh no, Michio, in my logic, starts at the school. Because that's when you start playing as her. You just have a conversation. Anyway. There's some like little leaps in logic. It's like, yeah, I get how you got that, but like when you're playing things kind of out of order, which as this game kind of lets you, sort of, some solutions to puzzles don't quite make a lot of sense, or at least you're not going to get the same line of logic from it.
Yeah, so it's at, so whose fault is it? I think it's like a mix, because when you like design adventure games, it's not always going to be, or you can't like tailor it to like a specific person. There's always going to be like multiple play styles of everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also share that criticism where it's like some things I looked up a guide for.
Yeah.
And some things I didn't really like, for the most part, I think with the Paranormal Site, I felt like I understood a lot of like the little like inside like twist and story beats and whatever. But there's like just the one or two where like I kind of figured it out after the solution, or I figured it out like after reading it a little bit, finding the solutions.
Right.
But it generally is pretty clear, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do you want to just talk about critique? I mean, we didn't talk about like the actual game of it. I mean, do we want to sell it to someone, or
this is our personal discussions on it.
Okay. Anyway,
maybe a listener, if you're still here. How about this? I want to hear your feelings on the ending, and then we'll go back to more of the positive stuff about this game. Because did you feel positive about this game, or did you hate it?
Yes, I think it's a good game.
Yes, me too. And let's say last year, would it be on your list?
Yes, it would have been. Awards? It wouldn't have been number one, but I think I would have picked it over a couple of things.
I think for me, interested in narrative games and stuff, this hits it right out of the park. Not perfectly. I mean, like, it shatters a few windows out of the park.
Yeah.
Not gracefully, but, you know, there's a lot of
good
things about it.
Let me put it this way. If this is a home run, like, it does hit it. It hits. Yeah. It hits a fan in the stadium. Because I think it starts out strong. It's a beautiful swing. Oh, God. And it hits. And there's a beautiful, like, you know, the sound when, like, a wooden bat hits a ball. Like, there's that crack. It's
a ball. Yeah,
it's crack beautiful. It starts out great. And then it sails and it crests and it starts to dip and then it hits someone on the head on the way out. I don't like the ending a lot. Cool.
Let's talk about the ending.
It's just spoilers at this point. There's two endings, right? There's two endings to the game. It's just kind of flaccid.
Yeah.
It just kind of ends.
So for me, my interpretation of the ending was that you play all the routes. Basically, everything wraps up right? The serial killer is dead. You have all the curses. You find out people's motivations and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just...
Well, it just ends.
Well, it's it kind of just ends, but because of one reason, right?
Yeah.
The ending is serving as a vessel just to finally stop the curse.
Yeah.
But in that timeline, everyone is doomed in a way.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a proper way to
end
reach the final part of the curse. Yeah, so you have to, you know, go back. And then what happens is that... Because the part that irked me is that you basically start off with Yoko and what's the other guy's name?
Shogo.
As like the two starting main protagonist characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Then either one of them dies. Whether it be you, whether it be her.
Yes.
And then it's like they kick you out of there and then you have to join up these other three lines. But then the game forces you to go back and it's like, all right, here's their motivation. Here's who they really are. Now do with that information what you must.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, there you go. It doesn't, because I think for me, you just go back in time and then it happens. And then he's just like, as Shogo, taking Shogo's narrative, it's like, now you're just imbued with all this knowledge and this power. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of just, you just kind of kill her. And then the curse ends. And then it's like, one of Shogo's last lines is literally, God, I need a drink. And it's like,
yeah, I guess. It's so, like, okay.
I think also too, it's like all their background is given through the files,
right?
Where it's like you have to read about them now, and like mm-hmm. you can't really experience it in a way.
It's like okay, I appreciate, you know, like you said, this game is pretty fast, right? Like,
yeah,
right, sub 10 hours. Like it felt like a
like middle shelf PSP game.
Yeah. And it's good. And, you know, I think people these days enjoy games with brevity. But there's like, God, if you have really fleshed out that ending, especially the true, quote unquote, true ending, for it, I think it's like, what, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes or something? It's not that long. But I want to talk about the first ending. So first, Ayane Tono, God, I hate her reasoning for, okay, what did you think of her, of who she wanted to resurrect?
I think it's funny and I think it's silly.
And she gets so mad that everyone thinks it's so stupid. Okay, for context, the reason, maybe we could talk about like the actual game at this point, right? Paranormasite involves people getting curses, and the reason why you have curses is you want to collect people's souls. Collecting people's souls allows you to trigger the rite of resurrection, which allows you to bring someone back to life in a bullet, right? Yeah. Most people here that get a curse have more or less pretty decent motivations to do so, right?
One of them wants to bring their son.
Yeah.
Another person wants to resurrect their apparently suicided classmate.
Yeah.
The other one, because that wants to just stop murders from happening.
Right. Easy. Like, straightforward, crystal clear. But then you get to a certain character. Oh, and there's the guy that's like, I killed someone in an accident. I just want to bring her back. Right. Like, decent enough.
Yeah.
Decent enough motivations. And there's one character that's like, I want to bring back a dead artist from 300 years ago. And it's like, why? Like, okay, cool, you want to bring back Hokusai, like, you know, grandmaster artist different. From 300 years ago, but you really can't think of anyone better? Like, art has advanced in that time, and, like, this is your intrinsic motivation to kill people? Like,
All right, let's. I'm not saying I'm going to defend Ayame, but I think just Ayame's whole stick is that, you know, it's first of all, she's not right in the head. I think, I don't know, for this story not to work, but I feel like for Ayame, she's kind of like the weirdest outside of your character. Compared to everyone else.
Yeah, she does.
Technically, she is a weird baby.
Yes.
That and came from a murderer. And then it is the adopted daughter of these two characters.
Yes.
One of them who is a stillborn. got committed stillborn.
But yeah.
Had a stillborn, you know, child.
Yeah.
And then, like, this dude, detective man, just comes home with the baby and it's like, guess it's ours now. And then, you know,
right. Okay, look, family little stuff, look, whatever. Everything about her character is interesting outside of that motivation.
What?
Like, literally, if she had picked anyone else, like, I don't know, like a...
What? Like Shakespeare? You want Japanese Shakespeare?
Shakespeare, if it was Shakespeare at all, it would also be incredibly stupid. Like... anything else, girl? Come on, Jesus Christ. Like, bring back fucking JFK at least. I don't fucking know. I don't know. Anyone, like, I don't...
Prime Minister?
Him? No, no, not Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Abe.
It
has to be cool with Prime Minister.
Anyway.
I think it's like... I don't know. She's very unserious and silly and weird, and I think that's kind of like the point. Where,
I don't
She's kind of like manipulative. She keeps everyone like basically away.
Yeah, she is the most like interesting and manipulative character in it. She throws a lot of people through the loop.
But let her have this one, right? That's why, like, man. At the very ending scene, she's all like, "I knew you would understand." And then the dad's like, "Well, you know."
She kills her dad and just lets herself get arrested after. Like, you went through it. Why'd you kill your dad then?
Well, that's like, I think that was like the most impactful part. You know, it's because you have a cow's heart, sir. You don't really know how it feels to have your daughter kill you.
If you were just going to let yourself get arrested, then why did you kill your dad? If you weren't good, if the ending like
it's like a heat of the moment thing, right? It's like you have the gun, and like, I don't mean to shoot my dad, but he's like saying this nonsense. But at the very end, where the dad collapsed, I thought that was the coolest part.
No, look, I'm not saying this. If she'd killed her dad and then disappeared, I would have been way happier. But the point is that she just lets herself get arrested, and it's just over.
Yeah, because she killed her dad.
You should just ran for it. Like, she already killed him. She did the crime. You might as well try and run away with it.
What do you mean? The last word the dad said was that you could still make things right. Before he died. That's his dying wish.
You don't need to listen to him. You already killed him.
Yeah, well it's...
Anyway, let's move on.
You know the reason why he killed him? It's because he lied to her on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the bravest thing.
But she didn't have to, like...
Well, the curse is already activated.
I don't know.
It's like, my curse will activate if you lie to me. And it's like, are you... That's the coolest part. It's like, are you my dad? And then he's like, knowing that he's going to die, and it's like, you are my daughter.
She can not physically, choose but... not to activate the curse.
I think that's true.
No, that is true. Because think about the conversation.
It's kind of like...
Think kind of the conversation
like have the that, gun, and then he's like shooting.
That Samae has with Ayane at her house when they're talking shit, right? When she shows up. And at any point in that conversation, you can choose to blow her up with the lighter that she has in her pocket, but you can also choose not to.
Oh, that's like different. Because then it's like the heat of the moment thing. It's like you have the gun in the hands.
Okay.
And it's like,
Let's agree to disagree that the ending is decisive. I just don't like it. I think it's dumb.
I think Ayame is a beautiful woman. And I defend her wish to resurrect
But do you defend? So do you defend the entire ending?
I need the entire ending. The ending was that, you know, the curse ends.
No. The first ending.
I mean the first ending.
The conclusion when part?
I mean, she dies, right? The first conclusion is where she dies, and then they have the Mio and the other cop, has all the pieces to figure out how to end this curse. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So him dying is just kind of like the side story.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, I really feel like it just falls on its face. I feel similarly about the true ending, I guess.
I think the actual ending is the true ending. Like, you cannot complete this game without completing the true ending.
Right. Well, I mean, the true ending is, like, nothing happened, right?
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. That is the universe. Yeah. None of this ever happened. It's all just a dream.
I mean, yeah. It's a
cop out.
Yeah,
say it with your full chest. It's just cop out.
I just wish it wasn't. Like, it's such a cool idea. And for it to do the thing of like, oh, the person sitting in your chair are a character in this story.
Yeah.
If you had just chosen to just let her die, the story never took place. And it's like, okay, that's interesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like framed the beginning of like, you have to save her.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
But at the very end, it turns it to like, this is why you had to kill her. And also, you killed her. Don't get that wrong. You killed her.
I guess I have the... I have this question. Maybe you figured it out. Maybe I didn't. How does the curse go off the first time that kills Yoko?
It's because I believe... Because Yoko dies the same way...
It's the drowning. It's the drowning, yeah.
The curse.
How does it go off the first time?
I think it's because you
as in me or you as in Shogo.
No, it's like Shogo activates his power unknowingly, meaning like he doesn't know why this happened. He doesn't know why this girl in front of her has drowned.
Mm-hmm.
And through the events of everything else, you figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of like in that true ending, you kind of like are there and become like aware as Shogo for what happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened because Shogo basically has the power of the lantern, right? Where he could use other people's curses to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how it happens. I'm not completely clear on it.
Okay.
But I believe that's how it is. Because even though, like, Mayu gets the lantern curse.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, only because Shogo died.
Shogo. Okay.
Yes, yeah. But that's only, believe, that's why they had to keep that root hidden. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, there's a fourth hidden root. And then, that was kind of like a bummer to me, too. Because there's the three roots and then the hidden fourth one.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, you just kind of... It's not a puzzle anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like, flick of the switch, here's that twist.
Mm-hmm.
Ooba-looba. And I think that's what really soured me, specifically at that part, where it's like, okay, now you're just writing your own things.
Yeah. Just
putting your own things in here.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get me wrong. There's a lot of like mini micro scenes that are really fun and cool.
Yeah.
But overall, as a whole, when I think of like adventure games or like mystery games like these, like murder mystery stuff, you know, I'm staring at it right now on my shelf, Ghost Trick.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Trick does similar stuff of like a time loop of adventure things, puzzles and everything, timing. But I came out of Ghost Trick a whole lot more positively, with like really good conclusion and the finality of what the ending of Ghost Trick is. Do I feel the same way about Paranormal Sight? No. But it's, I wish it was, the ending was done better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it wraps up too quickly. I was hoping that this would be one of those games where I was kind of required to take notes. Which I actually started doing at like really beginning, because I was trying to track down. It was also a little difficult for me to like remember who had what. Specifically because like some of them are named kind of similarly. Like there's the beckoning light, and then there's the other one that's also a light that one of the guys has.
Yeah.
And I remember like keeping a counter of like, it's just when like the detective starts to like really take collect them. Like he has like five towards the end of that and towards the end of the story. And it's like, okay, if he has five, she has three, then where's the last one? Especially towards like the first conclusion. It's like, where's the Whispering Canal at? Like, is this going to play at all into this? And it's like, no, it just kind of, it never comes up in that ending. I wanted to like this game so bad. Like, I wanted to like the ending so bad. Like, I kind of wish it wasn't. And there's like a lot of fun parts in it, I think. Because I'm always looking for the next 999.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the next Danganronpa game. And I was really hoping that this would be one of those. And like, it's good, but it doesn't, it wasn't what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. It's just like a shame because, like we said, like a lot of good interesting parts. Like for me, what sticks out the most is just the art of the characters, the character design, and it's like good.
They're really good.
Like, the kind of like a telenovela TV framing like, you know, foreground, background, these angles where the camera's tilted 45 degrees and like panning up.
Yeah.
Like some characters in here, like Hitomi, it's like my favorite non-character because he only shows up with one scene.
Yeah.
But like just their art design and like the art itself. They also do like these pouty lips. Everyone does it.
Yes.
It's like really funny.
The weird circular donut lip, right? Yeah. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. I just wish it did more with its systems.
Yeah.
Like the 360 aspect is really cool. And I think there's only ever one thing that you find that's like literally right above you.
Yeah. Remember that it's like you have to click on a chandelier.
Yeah.
Click on a light.
Yeah, you have to click on a light specifically. I was like hoping like, oh, maybe at some point there's going to be a scare that's like right above you. And it's like, no, there's nothing like that ever happens. I feel like it was just really underutilized.
Yeah, I feel the same way because there's a lot of things they could have done.
Yeah.
But you know. Whether it be like they're out of resources, whether it be it's like, hey, this is funny, all my game, we got to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, there's only so much budget here. This is as much as we can do. Which, again, kind of brings me to my point is like, I really hope this sells well. Like, as much as I have qualms with it, I hope that they can get something with a bit more budget. Because I think there's interesting stuff here. And like, I think they just kind of need to find their pace. It's for what it's worth, it's written well. It's not written poorly or anything.
Yeah, dialogue and everything. Character writing's good.
Yeah.
I think at least reading a little bit about the legends, like the file stuff,
it's pretty
interesting.
It does. I know we have written as like our favorite moment, right? Favorite impact from a moment.
Yeah.
There's a certain part where Yako and Mio are talking to the professor, right? They're talking to him at the coffee shop. It's a little thing. I don't know if you recall this, but it's what really did it for me. Is they're talking about the legend, right? And he starts doing this thing where he starts kind of talking like as a historian. where, like, hey, there's mention of this event, and it's only, we only know about this event because it's cross-referenced between several books. And it's like, oh man, that's neat. Because, like, that's what I like reading about. It's like, hey, there's this thing that happened, it's really unclear, and all we know is, like, these three sentences, right? It's like, this guy showed up, he said he could do magic, and eight people died. It's like, yo, that's a great, that's a great hook. Like,
yeah,
of course you would want to start, like, researching into this, because this is a wild thing. And, you know, there's references to this, but we don't know what this event was. And we actually read the event, which kind of also bugged me, because it's never, the game never forces you to read what actually happened. It just becomes like a data log that you could read. And it's like, well, I'm going to read this. And it's like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, it's like it hits for some people, but it doesn't hit for, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like you said earlier, right? It's like there's a difference between reading stuff and there's a difference between, like, experiencing.
Yeah.
What you want people to experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I really like how that was written. That scene for me is really well done. One of the other things I really like is every time, is when Mio and Yako use the Ouija board.
Yes.
I think that's really fun. Like, thought that was really neat.
There's the second part of it, right? Second time we use the Ouija board, where you get exercise, where it's like, all right, you have to do something so then you could promise you could never forget her.
Yes. It's also really fun. I kind of wish that they would have used that, right? Because I don't know if you did, but I left that save alone. I use all my saves.
I'm scared. One. Yeah, I'm scared, dude. It's gonna haunt me. It's gonna be an achievement.
Yeah. And it never comes up again. I was like, oh, it never comes up again. Okay.
There's my other favorite part about that one specifically is that after that, Michito begins talking or monologuing to Yako. And then one of the lines is like, I want you to live a long and fruitful life because I do not want you to punch me because I think that would hurt. It's like, you know, Yako's thing is like, when I get up there, I'm going to punch you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, please don't.
Speaking of favorite characters, we can get back to favorite other moments. But I think, I thought Shogo, again, that prologue is probably the best part of the game. But Mio and Yako playing, you know, student detectives is really near and dear to my heart. Like, they're fun. Like, as like characters, they're fun. I don't know if you have similar sentiments, or who are your favorite characters?
I think just hang around Yako and Mio.
Yeah. They definitely stand out.
The thing of, like, the bicycle neighborhood thing, whatever, that trope.
Yeah.
But it's like you yourself trying to find this mystery, then you find out who Mio is.
Yeah.
Then it all comes raveling together. But
It does, especially with Mio, it does a really good job of, like, introducing her. Like, you first, I think the first reference of her is a, I don't know what to call it, what, a data log? Or, like, a, right, the fucking compendium, right? The index. Yeah. Like, you read her name in the index, I think, is the earliest thing. And then you meet her. And, like, I read it. Like, I read the index. It's like, oh, this Mio kid, whatever. Because they throw a lot of names on, like, these sheets. And then when you meet her, it's like, oh, his name is Mio. It's like, wait, I've read Mio before. Mio is mentioned in this game.
Yeah, Mio's here.
Like, oh, it's her. It's her. I know who you are. You're a psychic. Before, like, she actually becomes a psychic, right? Before, like, she tells...
And, like, introduce Yaka. Yourself as a psychic. He's like,
yeah. It's neat. Again, they're really standout. I think they're fun. They really remind me of, like, 13 Sentinels characters. Them too. They're fun.
They're fun high schoolers.
Yeah.
I think Buddy Cop Detective is pretty funny at times.
Yeah.
Especially young blood.
I for a split second, it's like, oh man, is June gonna be like a secret antagonist or something? But no, he's just a good guy. Yeah,
I find the private detective and then the lady, to be real interesting. They're not my favorites.
They're an interesting duo.
Yeah, they're an interesting duo. I do like Ayame. I'll defend her silliness. She's my queen. Mm-hmm. I could fix her.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
The detective, Riker Kai, he really, really, really looks like Jonathan from SMT4. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I think I remember him.
Let me, I'm going to put you a picture because that was like the... Yeah, SMT. Like, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's just Jonathan.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, it's the hair, basically.
Kind of like a ramp.
Yeah.
Thing on the side. Fun. Ascot.
It's actually the first encounter with them as Shogo, I think, is really cool. Of like when you meet him and he's like, oh, hey, oh, you have a lighter on you? That's cool. And it's like, okay, that's weird. All right. And then like when you meet Tsujima. I remember her last name.
Tsujima. Yeah.
Tsujima, you meet her at the park and it's like, oh, that's why he asks you about the lighter. And I think that encounter is neat.
Harui, there you go.
Like, what am I looking for? Like, she's just counting down. It's like, what am I supposed to say to this lady? And it's like, oh, it's the lighter. Which lighter. I think, for me, she probably has one of the weaker ones. Because it's very specific to have a lighter on you.
I feel like power rankings. And then some of them are very obviously powerful than the other ones.
Yeah. But I don't know what else do you want to talk about of this game? Like,
I think you could wrap it up. I guess the last bit of the puzzle is Secret Fourth Root, which is power couple. What their names? Mayu and the other one.
The detective, right?
Yoshimi. There you go. Yoshimi, Mayu and Yoshimi. Yeah. I feel that they were part of the cop outs. This magic came in.
Yeah.
You do get hints that they're gonna be here. Cause mm-hmm. you need to find someone that's close to Yoshimi and then I will trust them.
Mm-hmm,
and it's like the detective's like, we never found Mayu, so we don't know where she is.
Yeah.
And then you figure out where Mayu is and the then
999S room.
Yeah, 999S room.
Yeah.
And then, like, you click on some things, and then you got, like, flashbacks of why Yoshimi should have been there and why Yoshimi should have been a character.
Yeah.
But now he's dead.
Yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah, the fax machine bit, I think, is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, like, you, every time you play as Tsujima and you see the fax machine in the background, it's like, oh, I've never used this fax machine.
Yeah, and it's like okay. You're going to use the fax machine.
You're going to use the fax machine at some point.
Yeah, I think you're in that office three times.
Yeah.
But for all things to lock up.
Yeah, a fucking fax machine. And for that 999-ass room to have a fucking phone connection in it, wild. Anyway,
that finds you the meta thing too of like do you hear the hint of the puzzle? The padlock is the name of the padlock is the year the company was founded, and then you unlock the padlock because you are the observer,
right?
And then Mayu's like, I wonder how I knew that number, and I was like, yep, yeah, I know this kind of game.
Yep, yeah,
you got him again.
I wish it was more of that. Like, yeah, that was corny, but I just wish it just used that so much more.
Yeah.
Like, I never hooted and hollered more than when I figured out to, like, the thing you were saying, like, way earlier, like, when you turn down the sound effects of the game.
Yeah.
Like, but that's like the first peak hour. Game. And then just nothing cooler ever happens than that.
Yeah, it's like it almost got to there, but, you know, you kind of hit it in the not out of the park, but inside the park that time. But then other ones are just like singles and doubles.
Yeah,
maybe a triple.
Yeah. But yeah, it's what else do I want to talk about at this game?
I like the stickers of the birds.
How many did you get at the end?
I want to collect them all, but I got like 13.
I got 15. I feel like you could just replay the scenes and you'd probably get them.
No, just look up a guide.
Yeah,
probably. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Even like looking around, I guess that's the only part of all looking around too, is you can find these stickers. But this is one specifically, Mockingbird number 3, which is the penguin with the pompadour.
Oh, that one kicks ass.
You're forced to find that one and it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What else? I don't know. I think
I have closing thoughts. The closing argument.
I want people to play this game. I want it so well. I want to know what we could get if they kept cooking. Yeah. Like if Square Enix was like, hey, this sold moderately well, we'll give you, I don't know, 120% of your budget, whatever, like 20% more.
This is a $20 game, and I wanted the same engine and the same style, but as a $60
game. Yeah, just make it, exactly. Like, you don't have to break new ground. Just use the same engine. Just build a better game. Just make a slightly longer game with a little more fleshed out. New characters, I don't care. Just use the same engine. I think about these Eternia games. There's not a whole lot of tech that holds those games together.
Yeah, but that is the basic adventure novel.
Yeah, but you can make 8 of those games. And for mine, and like between the both of us, we've at least played like more than half. Like, you can pump these games out, and like they can vary in quality depending on the quality of writing. But you can pump these games. I want to see Paranormal Site 2, fucking 13 Curses of Hanjo or whatever, fucking 9 Blessings of Shibuya. I don't fucking care. Like, give me the game. Like, I don't care. Give me it. I'll play it. I think that's kind of what it boils down. I want to see what this team does next.
Because
I did enjoy it, like, for what it was. And I think I wouldn't be so passionate about my critiques of it if I saw how good it can be, right?
Yeah, it has like a lot of potential, right? You wouldn't have an episode about this if we didn't think it could be something really cool.
Yeah,
I think it is really cool in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be better.
I want
this to be successful as well.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many, like, the little thing. It's not just like the big thing that happens like when you play a game. It's like it's all like the little details about it.
Talking about little things. I adore how harsh the choice selection sound is. It is a fucking Sega Genesis ass, and I'm like, yeah, that's what this should sound like. Mm-hmm. It is an aggressive synth noise that like completely outcuts like every audio in this game. And it's like, yeah, that's what it should sound like. It is pulling old school adventure game roots.
Yeah, it's like given like the framing of it, like you're in the TV and watching stuff.
Yes, it's great.
Also, I think the sound design of the music is honestly one of the highlights of
this whole thing. Yes, the music's great. There's one particular track, I think it's like the basic like investigative track. The last chord of the piece doesn't resolve. It pisses me off so much that it does not resolve the chord. Like, and my ear is so tuned for like, oh, it goes ba, and you just go ba, but it doesn't. Yeah. And it, oh god, and it sticks with me. It sticks with me how much it does not resolve, because you hear the same song looping for the whole scene. It's good music.
Yeah. I think it does like standard fare, but I think it's like, even though there's like 10 tracks, they did it really well.
Yeah,
how they apply it. Mm-hmm. You have like this cool detective track, you have like a piano like somber track, you have your standard, you know, spooky paranormal spoopy ones.
It does the job. It does exactly what it needs to do.
It does what it needs to do. Leaves you wanting more, but it's really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Paranormal Sight. Even though the ending was whack, I did enjoy seeing how weird and crazy everyone gets and got. I like the idea of like the curses.
They're neat.
They're neat.
I know we didn't get to much of it because I do. Again, I want to recommend that people play this, but like, they're neat. Like, it's a cool idea.
It's like the just the spooky folk tales you hear about, right?
It
whether
is,
it be in Japanese literature, culture, whether it be any other ones.
Exactly. And
I think they nail it.
One of the other things that I think that also kind of nails it personally, and I don't want to be the thing that's like, oh, you bring this up every time we talk, is I've been to the Sumida River when I went to Japan. I've been on that bridge.
It's
one of those things that a lot of, especially Japanese adventure novels that take place in real world times, that they're such sticklers in being consistent to where they're taking place in.
Yeah.
Like, it's all real places. You can go there. It does the thing, I think, I want to say, man, I have no backup to prove this. If a lot of those backgrounds seem to be like 360 photographs that have a filter on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like to me. It's like these are real places that just have this like kind of hazy TV effect on it.
Yeah, I think like that's their like tech thing, right?
So yeah.
You take that landscape and then you do that same like tech if you're doing a 3D picture.
Yeah.
A 360 picture.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, and so it feels it tends to have this really kind of realistic feeling to it, which I really liked. Like the small effects. Like again, this engine's good. Like, I hope they use it again.
Yeah. It's a lot of good little things in here.
Yeah.
This is something about, like, the sprites, too. Like, it's basically Yako's.
Yes.
She's so, like, fluid, and, like, it really shows her character of, like, this tomboy-esque of, if you hurt my friends, I'm going to kick your ass.
Kick your ass? Yeah, fair.
But everyone else, you know, just has that same... right style of pose.
Yeah.
The college students, Nakagami, or yeah, Nabigaki.
Oh my god, he's such a fail boy. So hard. He's the most like inconsequential character.
Yeah.
He sucks. He's like so deeply
regretful. And it's like even like when the girl, Ayame was like talking about him, it's like, yeah, he's kind of a wimp. He's kind of sucked. I'm just dating him for the money.
Yeah.
Like, at least he's honest.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, they kind of have like this little like chic, either like cardigan or sweater.
He has such a great sweater. Is like his best part about him. His sweater is really nice.
Yeah. The detectives have dressed in basically all black, and then the new guys all white and a tie. He has. I don't know if he has a backpack, but he has two straps and a gun.
No, he's wearing it's a holster. He has a
holster and like the straps are on his shoulder.
Suspenders, that's the word I'm looking for. Suspenders. He was wearing suspenders.
Suspenders are so weird then, because it looks like backpack straps.
It might actually be a holster for a gun, I'm not sure, but yeah. Yeah,
but he has the holster on his side. You can see his gun.
Yeah.
At all times. But yeah. Closing remarks. A bit longer for closing
I think
remarks.
I gave mine. What are your closing remarks? I gave mine.
I shared mine with you. That's basically it. I liked it.
Okay.
More with it. And that's Paranormasite.
Nice.
7 Misty of Hanjo.
Do you want
now
to do
talk about it? I can uninstall it.
Do you want to score out of whatever your favorite number is? Do we give it a rating? Oh, damn.
No, I guess if you gave it like a 10 rate score. I don't like doing these scores, dude, because they're too subjective. I will say, like I do with my other things that I used to do, it does receive a Mog Knight stamp of approval. This game is good and I recommend it.
Okay.
And then I will give it a plus right next to that stamp.
Sure.
Because I think it is a standout job. But not multiple pluses.
I think I would give it like a highly recommended. Not a must play.
Not a must play. You're crazy.
Yeah, not a must play, but a highly recommended. If you're a fan of the genre, also I think this is pretty accessible.
Yeah, I think it's more
people
accessible
that aren't super used to these kind of games.
Yeah, I think it's a good starting point, and also if you're a scaredy cat like me, it's not that bad.
It's not that scary. if I was to give it a point system, I think I'd give it an incredibly subjective 8 out of 10.
Ooh, just like Destructoid is 8.5 and Edge is its 8.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. Because it's good. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
But yeah. I think it does a lot of things right. I like the art. I like how it looks.
Yeah.
Sometimes when the characters do the freak out,
it's good.
Harui, her freak out is really creepy.
Yeah. That only needs to get some sleep. Just such big bags. Anyway.
But that's the her appeal, right? It's I need to find out who killed my son.
Yeah, that's fair.
I am tired, lady.
Anyway.
Anyways.
That's Paranormal Sight.
That's Paranormal Sight. Real quick, who's your favorite character again?
I'm going to go with... I want to say Mio. I think she's fun.
Mine is Yako.
Oh, it's her
two Travadanties for life.
It's like
my second favorite one is Hitomi. Dude, just looking at Hitomi's pictures, screenshots, man. He's so rad.
He's a cool character.
I like how the brown eyes in this game are kind of sometimes more reddish than brown.
Yeah.
And it gives Hitomi that kind of scowl you get from a delinquent.
Anyway, Mio's cool.
Anyways, wrapping things up, thanks for the wonderful discussion of Paranormal Sight. Is there a game this month you're looking forward to playing?
I'm probably going to, and I'll probably talk about this with you off recording. Okay. I'll be playing Ace Attorney, Greatest Attorney 2. I want to see, I need to know the end of this game. Also, just because I kind of got that itch playing this, basically.
Yeah, more adventure stuff.
Yeah. I'm probably going to be looking into more games similar to this, because I don't know if I should, but I never played VLR.
Hershey's Last Reward.
Yeah. And I kind of want to play it. Because I played all of 999, and I got all the endings of 999. I only ever got one ending of... what's the second one? Wait, I'm missing it up. I've played VLR.
Yeah, you played... There's 999 for Success Reward.
Zero
Doors. Zero.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Zero Time Dilemma, I think. Is that it?
I think that's the whole thing.
Crap, what's the last one called? Hold on. I have it right here.
No, I think it is Zero's Escape, Zero Time Dilemma.
Oh, I have it literally next to me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yes. The Zero Escape is the whole thing. And then... Yeah. Yeah, Zero Time Dilemma
is the last one. Yeah. I want to play Zero Time Dilemma.
Ooh, nice.
But I kind of want to... I want to know what... Like you said, I played one ending of Virtue's Last Reward. And I kind of want to see the rest of them, but
would it be better if you'd like to watch it?
I mean, they're hard. What I remember more about VLR is those puzzles were way harder than 999's.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, did you play VLR?
No.
Oh, okay.
I played through 999.
Yeah.
And as much as I like it, I don't really have not that much motivation to play the other Zero Escape ones.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I might do.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. Anyway, that's what I'm going to look forward to. You?
For me, January is a stacked year of game releases.
Mm-hmm, it is.
I'll most likely be trying, something new.
Yeah.
I think Pal World is releasing in early access next week because it's Pokemon with Guts.
Yeah.
I think for right now, I do want to try a little bit of the new Momodora game this weekend.
Yes. I heard the game's good. I heard all those games are good.
Yeah. I played 1 and 2. I wasn't so hot on 3 or the one that came after that, but I will play through Momodora a little bit, see if I like it. It's a lot of games.
Yeah.
You gotta look out for my tweeter, on different things. And one of my New Year's resolutions is to publish and write something on my site, every 2 weeks, and I'm coming up on that deadline.
Oh boy.
But so you'll see something. Pretty soon for my site. But let's go ahead and wrap things up, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. But thank you for listening. Hope you guys too enjoyed Paranormal Sight if you made it this far. Comment down below. There's not a comment section. But you could email me or like DM me what your thoughts on Paranormal Sights are. Maybe you'll feel the same way. And tell me who your favorite character is. And why is it Yako or Mio? Yeah. But you can find me at MogKnight on Twitter. I also stream sometimes. I'm a Mog VTuber. twitch.tv/MogKnight11. I also run my little website, Kupo.cafe. Stop by and have a drink, Kupo. Read some stuff. Work on some stuff. And where can they find you, good Sir Andrew?
I mostly hang out on Twitter. Nothing else really. I'm in and out of things.
That's right.
As I'm always spinning in this rotating chair.
Here's my content mule, and I will never let him go.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks come for joining find us. Me at Summer Kurtz, and yeah, glad to be here.
All of him. He's a beautiful young lad. Soul. Ask him his opinions on food and Danganronpa. He loves opinions on Danganronpa.
Play V3. Everyone play V3. I want to talk about it so bad.
You're here to hear, folks. Play V3. That's
play V3, even though the first game is the best one, in my opinion.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, and hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful time, Kupo, and see you next month for another episode of Kupo Talks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Say bye more.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.